Chapter 58. The Last Chapter. The Traps of Ruidian. Darkness surrounded him once the door vanished, blackness stretching in all directions, yet he could see. There was no sensation of heat or cold, even wet as he was. No sensation at all, only existence. Plain gray stone steps rose in front of him, each step hanging unsupported, arching out until they dwindled from sight. He had seen these before, or their like. Somehow he knew they would take him where he had to go. He ran up the impossible stairs, and as his boot left each one behind with its damp footprint, it faded away, vanished. Only steps ahead waited, only those taking him where he had to go. This was as it had been before, too. Did I make these with the power? Or do they exist some other way? With the thought, the gray stone under his foot began to fade, and all the others ahead shimmered. Desperately he concentrated on them, gray stone and real. Real! The shimmering stopped. They were not so plain now, but polished, the edges carved in a fancy border he thought he recalled seeing somewhere before. Not caring where, not sure he dared think too long on it, he ran as hard as he could, taking the steps three at a time through the endless dark. They would take him where he wanted to go, but how long would it take? How much head start did Asmodian have? Did the Forsaken know a faster way to travel? That was the trouble. The Forsaken had all the knowledge. All he had was desperation. Looking ahead, he winced. The steps had accommodated themselves to his long stride, with wide spaces between, requiring those leaps now, across black as deep as what? A fall here might never end. He forced himself to ignore the gaps, to keep running. The old half-healed wound in his side began to throb, a vague awareness. But if he was aware of it at all, wrapped inside Sidene, the wound was close to breaking open. Ignore it. The thought floated across the void inside him. He did not dare lose this race, not if it killed him. Would these steps never stop climbing? How far had he come? Suddenly he saw a figure in the distance ahead and off to his left. A man, it seemed, in a red coat and red boots, standing on a glistening silvery platform that slid through the darkness. Rand needed no closer look to be sure it was Asmodian. The Forsaken was not running like a half-spent country boy. He was riding that whatever it was. Rand stopped dead on one of the stone steps. He had no idea what that platform was, shining like polished metal, but the steps ahead of him vanished. The piece of stone beneath his boots began to glide forward, faster and faster. There was no wind in his face to tell him he was moving. Nothing in that vast black to mark motion at all. Except that he was beginning to catch up to Asmodian. He did not know if he was doing this with the power. It just seemed to happen. The step wobbled, and he made himself stop wondering. I don't know enough yet. The dark-haired man stood at his ease, one hand on a hip, pensively fingering his chin. A spill of white lace dripped from his neck, more half hid his hands. His high-collared red coat seemed shinier than silk satin, and was oddly cut, with tails hanging almost to his knees. What seemed to be black threads, like fine steel wires, ran off from the man, disappearing into the surrounding dark. Those Rand had surely seen before. Asmodian turned his head, and Rand gaped. The Forsaken could change their faces, or at least make you see a different face. He had seen Lanfear do it. But these were the features of Jason the Tail, the Gleeman. He had been sure it would be Kadir, with his predatory eyes that never changed. Asmodian saw him at the same moment and gave a start. The Forsaken's silver perch darted forward, and suddenly a huge sheet of fire, like a thin slice from a monstrous flame, swept back toward Rand, a mile high and a mile wide. He channeled at it desperately. Just as it was about to strike him, it suddenly burst into shards, hurtling away from him, winking out. Yet even as the fiery curtain vanished, it revealed another rushing at him. He shattered that, exposing another, splintered the third to reveal a fourth. Asmodian was getting away, Rand was sure of it. He could not see the Forsaken at all for the flames. Anger slid across the surface of the void, and he channeled. A wave of fire enveloped the crimson curtain sweeping toward him, and rolled on, carrying it away. Not a thin slice, but wild, billowing gouts, as if whipped by storm winds. He quivered with the power roaring through him. Anger at Asmodian clawed at the surface of the void. A hole appeared in the erupting surface. No, not a hole, exactly. Asmodian and his shining platform stood in the middle of it. But as the flaming wave washed forward, it slid together again. The Forsaken had built some sort of shield around himself. Rand made himself ignore the distant anger outside the void. It was only in cold calm that he could touch Sidon. Acknowledging anger would shatter the void. The billows of fire ceased to exist as he stopped channeling. He had to catch the man, not kill him. The stone step slid through the blackness even faster. Asmodian drew closer. Abruptly, the Forsaken's platform stopped. A bright hole appeared in front of him, and he jumped through. The silvery thing vanished, and the door began to close. Rand lashed out wildly with the power. He had to hold it open. Once it closed, he would have no idea where Asmodian had fled. The shrinking stopped. A square of harsh sunlight, big enough to step through. He had to hold it open, reach it before Asmodian could go too far. Even as he thought about stopping, the step halted dead. It halted, but he hurtled forward, flying through the doorway. Something tugged his boot, and then he was tumbling head over heels across hard ground to land finally in a breathless heap. Fighting to fill his lungs, he pushed himself to his feet, not daring to let himself be helpless a moment. The one power still filled him with life and vileness. His bruises felt as distant as his struggle for breath, as far off as the yellow dust that covered his damp clothes covered him. Yet at the same time, he was aware of every stir of furnace air, every grain of dust, every minute crack in the hard-baked clay. Already the sun was baking away the moisture, sucking it from his shirt and breeches. He was in the waste, in the valley below Chaendare, not 50 steps from fog-shrouded Rhydion. The doorway was gone. He took a step toward the wall of mist and stopped, lifting his left foot. His boot heel was sliced cleanly through. The tug he had felt, the doorway closing. He was dimly aware of shivering in spite of the heat. He had not known it was that dangerous. The Forsaken had all the knowledge. Asmodian would not escape him. Grimly, he adjusted his clothes, tucking the carved little man and his sword firmly in place, ran to the fog and in. Gray blindness enveloped him. The power filling him did nothing to make him see better here. Running blind. Abruptly, he threw himself down, rolling the last stride out of the fog onto gritty paving stones. Lying there, he stared up at three bright ribbons, silver blue in the strange light of Rhydion, stretching to left and right, floating in the air. When he stood, they were at the level of his waist, chest, and neck, and so thin that they vanished edge on. He could see how they had been made and hung, even if he did not understand it. Hard as steel, sharp enough to make a razor seem a feather. Had he run into these, they would have sliced through him. A tiny surge of the power and the silver ribbons fell in dust. Cold anger outside the void, inside cold purpose, and the one power. The bluish glow of the fog dome cast its shadowless light on the half-finished, slab-sided palaces of marble and crystal and cut glass. The cloud-piercing towers fluted and spiraled. And down the broad street ahead of him ran Asmodian, past dry fountains toward the great plaza at the heart of the city. Rand channeled. It seemed oddly difficult. He pulled at Sidon, wrenched at it until it raged into him. He channeled, and thick bolts of jagged lightning shot from the dome clouds. Not at Asmodian. Just ahead of the Forsaken, gleaming pillars of red and white, 50 feet thick and 100 paces high, centuries old, exploded and toppled across the street in rubble and clouds of dust. From huge windows of colored glass, images of majestically serene men and women seemed to look at Rand in reproof.
I have to stop him, he told them.
His voice seemed to echo in his own ears. Osmodian paused, starting back from the collapsing masonry. The dust drifting toward him never touched his shiny red coat. It parted around him, leaving clear air. Fire bloomed around Rand, enveloped him as the air became flame, and vanished before he was even aware of how he did it. His clothes were dry and hot, his hair felt singed, and baked dust fell at every step as he ran. Osmodian was scrambling over the broken stone blocking the street. More lightning flashed, raising gouts of shattered paving stone ahead of him, ripping open crystal palace walls to rain ruin before him. The Forsaken did not slow, and as he vanished, lightning flashed from the glowing clouds toward Rand, stabbing blindly but meant to kill. Running, Rand wove a shield around himself. Shards of stone bounded from it as he dodged crackling blue bolts, leaped over the holes they tore in the pavement. The air itself sparkled. The hair of his arms lifted with it. The hair on his head stirred. There was something woven into the barrier of shattered columns. He hardened the shield around himself. Great tumbled chunks of red and white stone exploded as he reached to climb. A burst of pure light and flying stone. Safe inside his bubble, he ran through, only vaguely aware of the rumble of collapsing buildings. He had to stop Osmodian. Straining, and it took strain, he threw lightning ahead, balls of fire ripping up out of the ground, anything to slow the red-coated man. He was catching up. He entered the plaza only a dozen paces behind. Trying to increase his speed, he redoubled his efforts at slowing Osmodian, and fleeing, Osmodian fought to kill him. The Tirangreal and other precious things the Aiel had given their lives to bring here were hurled into the air by lightning, tossed wildly by spinning whirlwinds of fire, constructs of silver and crystal shattering, strange metal shapes toppling as the ground shivered and broke open in wide rents. Searching wildly, Osmodian ran, and flung himself at what might seem the least significant thing in all that litter. A carved white stone figurine, perhaps a foot long, lying on its back, a man holding a crystal sphere in one upraised hand. Osmodian closed his hands on it with an exultant cry. A heartbeat later, Rand's hands grasped it too. For the barest instant, he stared into the Forsaken's face. He looked no different than he had as a gleeman, except for a wild desperation in his dark eyes. A somewhat handsome man in his middle years, nothing at all to say he was one of the Forsaken. The barest instant, and they both reached through the figure, through the Tirangreal, for one of the two most powerful Saangreal ever made. Vaguely, Rand was aware of a great half-buried statue in far-off Kyrian, of the huge crystal sphere in its hand, glowing like the sun, pulsing with the one power. And the power in him surged up like all the seas of the world in storm. With this, surely he could do anything. Surely he could even have healed that dead child. The taint swelled as much, curling round every particle of him, seeping into every crevice, into his soul. He wanted to howl. He wanted to explode. Yet he only held half what that Saangreal could deliver. The other half filled Osmodian. Back and forth they struggled, tripping over scattered and broken Tirangreal, falling, neither daring to let go of the figure with even one finger for fear the other would pull it away. Yet as they rolled over and over, banging now against a redstone doorframe that somehow still stood, now against a fallen crystal statue lying on its side unbroken, a nude woman clasping a child to her breast, as they fought for possession of the Tirangreal, the battle was fought on another level, too. Hammers of power large enough to level mountains struck at Rand, and blades that could have pierced the earth's heart. Unseen pincers tried to tear his mind from his body, ripped at his very soul. Every scrap of power he could draw went to hurl those attacks away. Any one could destroy him as if he had never been. He was sure of it. Where they went, he could not be sure. The ground bounded beneath them, shaking them as they struggled, flinging them about in a writhing tangle of straining muscle. Dimly he was aware of vast rumbles, of a thousand whining hums like some strange music. The glass columns quivering, vibrating. He could not stop to worry about them. All those nights without sleep were catching up to him, the running he had done on top of it. He was tired, and if he could even know it inside the void, then he was near exhaustion. Tossed by the quaking earth, he realized he was no longer trying to pull the Tiran Graal from Osmodian, only to hold on. Soon his strength would go. Even if he managed to retain his grip on the stone figure, he would have to let go of Sidene, or be swept away by the rush of it, destroyed as surely as Osmodian would do it. He could not pull another thread through the Tiran Graal. He and Osmodian were equally balanced, each with half of what the great Saan Graal and Kyrian could draw. Osmodian panted in his face, snarling. Sweat dripped from the Forsaken's forehead, ran down his cheeks. The man was tired, too, but as tired as he? The flailing earth heaved Rand on top for an instant, and just as quickly spun Osmodian up. But in that brief moment, Rand felt something pressed between them. The carving of the fat little man with the sword still tucked into his waistband. An insignificant thing next to the immense power they drew upon. A cup of water compared to a vast river, to an ocean. He did not even know if he could use it while linked to the great Saan Graal. And if he could? Osmodian's teeth bared. Not a grimace, but a weary rictus of a smile. The man thought he was winning. Perhaps he was. Rand's fingers trembled, weakening around the Tiran Graal. It was all he could do to hold on to Sidene, even linked as he was to the huge Saan Graal. He had not seen those strange things like black steel wires around Osmodian since leaving the Dark Place, but he could visualize them even in the void, place them in his mind around the Forsaken. Tam had taught him the void as an aid to archery, to be one with the bow, the arrow, the target. He made himself one with those imagined black wires. He barely saw Osmodian frown. The man must be wondering why his face had grown calm. There was always calm in the moment before the arrow was loosed. He reached through the small Ungrial in his waistband, and more of the power flowed into him. He did not waste time on exulting. It was such a small flow beside what he already contained, and this was his final blow. This would use his strength. He formed it like a sword of power, a sword of light, and struck. One with the sword, one with the imagined wires. Osmodian's eyes went wide and he screamed, a howl from the depths of horror. Like a struck gong, the Forsaken quivered. For an instant, there seemed to be two of him, shivering away from each other. Then, they slid back together. He fell over on his back, arms flung out in his now dirty, tattered red coat, chest heaving. Staring up at nothing, his dark eyes looked lost. As he collapsed, Rand lost his hold on Sidene, and the power left him. He had barely enough strength to clutch the Tiran Graal to his chest and roll away from Osmodian. Pushing himself to his knees felt like climbing a mountain. He huddled around the figure of the man with his crystal sphere. The earth had stopped moving. The glass columns still stood. He was grateful for that. Destroying them would have been like obliterating the history of the Aiel. And though trefoil leaves littered the pavement beneath Avandasora, only one branch of the great tree hung broken. But the rest of Ruidian? The plaza looked as if everything had been picked up and flung about by a mad giant. Half the palaces and towers were only heaps of rubble, some spilling into the square. Huge toppled columns marred others, and fallen walls and empty gaps where huge windows of colored glass had been. A rift ran the whole way across the city, a split in the earth 50 feet wide. The destruction did not end there. The dome of fog that had hidden Ruidian for so many centuries was dissipating. The underside no longer glowed, and harsh sunlight poured through great new gaps. Beyond, Cheyendare's peak looked different, lower. And on the other side of the valley, some of the mountains were definitely lower. Where one mountain had stood, a fan of stone and dirt stretched across the north end of the valley. I destroy. Always I destroy. Light, will it ever end? Asmodian rolled onto his belly, pushed to hands and knees. His eyes found Rand and the Tirangreal, and he made as if to crawl toward them. Rand could not have channeled a spark, but he had learned how to fight before his first nightmare of channeling. He lifted a fist.
Don't even think about it.
The Forsaken stopped, swaying wearily. His face sagged, yet despair and desire warred across it. Hate and fear glittered in his eyes.
I do not like to see men fight, but you two cannot even stand.
Lanfear moved into Rand's view, surveying the devastation.
You have made a thorough job of it. Can you feel the traces? This place was shielded in some way. You did not leave enough for me to say how.
Dark eyes suddenly bright, she knelt in front of Rand, peering at what he held.
So that is what he was after. I thought they were all destroyed. Only half remains of the single one I have seen. A fine trap for some unwary Aes Sedai.
She put out a hand, and he clutched the Tirangreal tighter. Her smile did not touch her eyes.
Keep it, certainly. To me, it is no more than a figurine.
Rising, she dusted her white skirts, though they did not need it. When she realized he was watching her, she stopped searching the rubble-strewn plaza with her eyes, made her smile brighter.
What you used was one of the two Sa'angreal I told you of. Did you feel the immensity of it? I have wondered what it must be like.
She seemed unaware of the hunger in her voice.
With those together, we can displace the great Lord of the Dark himself. We can, Luzthaerin. Together.
Help me!
Asmodian crawled toward her unsteadily, his upraised face painted in dread.
You don't know what he has done. You must help me. I would not have come here if not for you.
What has he done? She sniffed. Beaten you like a dog, and not half so well as you deserve. You were never meant for greatness, Asmodian, only to follow those who are great.
Somehow Rand managed to stand, still holding the stone and crystal figure to his chest. He would not continue on his hands and knees in her presence.
You, chosen.
He knew taunting her was dangerous, but he could not stop himself.
Gave your souls to the Dark One. You let him attach himself to you.
How many times had he replayed his battle with Baalzamon? How many times before he began to suspect what those black wires were?
I cut him off from the Dark One, Lanfear. I cut him off!
Her eyes widened in shock, staring from him to Asmodian. The man had begun to weep.
I did not think that was possible. Why? Do you think to bring him to the light? You've changed nothing about him.
He is still the same man who gave himself to the shadow in the first place, Rand agreed. You told me how little you, chosen, trust one another. How long could he keep it secret? How many of you would believe he didn't do it himself somehow? I am glad you thought it impossible. Maybe the rest of you will as well. You gave me the whole idea, Lanfear. A man to teach me how to control the power. But I won't be taught by a man linked to the Dark One. Now, I don't have to be. He may be the same man, but he doesn't have much choice, does he? He can stay and teach me, hope I win, help me win, or he can hope the rest of you don't take the excuse to turn on him.
Which do you think he'll choose?
Asmodian stared wild-eyed at Rand from his crouch, then thrust out a pleading hand toward Lanfear.
They will believe you. You can tell them. I would not be here except for you. You must tell them. I am faithful to the great Lord of the Dark.
Lanfear stared at Rand, too. For the first time ever that he had seen, she looked uncertain.
How much do you remember, Luzthaerin? How much is you and how much the shepherd?
This is the sort of plan you might have devised when we...
Drawing a deep breath, she turned her head to Osmodian.
Yes, they will believe me. When I tell them you went over to lose Theron, everyone knows you will leap wherever you think your best chance lies. There.
She nodded to herself in satisfaction.
Another little present for you, Luz Theron. That shield will allow a trickle through, enough for him to teach. It will dissipate with time, but he'll not be able to challenge you for months. And by that time, he will have no choice but to remain with you. He was never very good at breaking through a shield. You must be willing to accept pain, and he never could.
No!
Osmodian crawled toward her.
You cannot do this to me! Please, Mirren, please!
My name is Lanfear.
Rage twisted her face to ugliness, and the man lifted into the air, spread-eagled. His clothes pressed to him, and the flesh of his face distorted, spread out like butter under a rock. Rand could not let her kill the man, but he was too tired to touch the true source unaided. He could barely sense it, a dim glow just out of sight. For an instant, his hands tightened on the stone man with the crystal sphere. If he reached through to the huge Saangreal in Kyrian again now, that much of the power might destroy him. Instead, he reached through the carving in his waistband. With the Angreal, it was a feeble flow, a hair-thin trickle compared to the other, but he was too weary to pull more. He hurled it all between the two Forsaken, hoping to distract her, if nothing else. A bar of white-hot fire, 10 feet tall, streaked between the pair in a blur, surrounded by arcing blue lightning, searing a pace-deep groove across the square, a smooth-sided gash glowing with melted earth and stone. The fiery shaft struck a green-streaked palace wall and exploded, the roar buried in the rumble of collapsing marble. On one side of the melted slash, Osmodian dropped to the pavement in a shuddering heap, blood trickling from nose and ears. On the other, Lanfear staggered back as if struck, then rounded on Rand. He swayed with the effort of what he had done and lost Sidene once more. For a moment, rage engorged her face as deeply as it had for Osmodian. For a moment, Rand stood on the brink of death. Then fury vanished with startling abruptness, buried behind a seductive smile.
No, I mustn't kill him. Not after we have gone to so much effort.
Moving closer, she reached out to stroke the side of his cheek, where her bite from the dream was just healing. He had not let Moraine know of it.
You still bear my mark. Shall I make it permanent?
Did you harm anyone at Alcair Dahl or in the camps? Her face never stopped smiling, but her caress changed, fingers suddenly poised as if to rip out his throat.
Such as who? I thought you had realized you did not love that little farm girl. Or is it the Aiel Jade?
A viper, a deadly viper who loved him, the light helped me. And he did not know how to stop her if she decided to bite, whether him or someone else. I don't want anyone hurt. I need them yet. I can use them. It was painful saying that, painful for the amount of truth in it. But keeping Lanfear's fangs out of Egwene and Moraine, away from Avienda and anyone else close to him, that was worth a little pain. Throwing back her beautiful head, she laughed like chiming bells.
I can remember when you were too soft-hearted to use anyone. Devious in battle, hard as stone and arrogant as the mountains, but open and soft-hearted as a girl. No, I did not harm any of your precious Aes Sedai or your precious Aiel. I do not kill without cause, Luz Theron. I do not even hurt without cause.
He was careful not to look at Osmodian. White-faced, drawing jagged breaths, the man had pushed up on one hand, using the other to wipe blood from his mouth and chin. Turning slowly, Lanfear surveyed the great square.
You have destroyed this city as well as any army could have.
But it was not the ruined palaces she stared at, though she pretended.
It was the broken square with its jumbled litter of Tirangrial, and who knew what else. The corners of her mouth were tight when she turned back to Rand. Her dark eyes held a spark of suppressed anger.
Use his teachings well, Luz Theron. The others are still out there. Samael with his envy of you, Demandred with his hate, Ravine with his thirst for power. They will be more eager to bring you down, not less, if, when, they discover you hold that.
Her gaze flickered to the foot-tall figure in his hands, and for an instant he thought she was considering taking it from him. Not to keep the others from his back, but because with it he might be too powerful for her to handle. Right then, he was not certain he could stop her if she used nothing but her hands. One instant she was weighing whether to leave the Tirangrial in his possession, the next measuring his tiredness. However much she talked of loving him, she would want to be far from him when he regained enough strength to use the thing. Briefly, she scanned the plaza again, lips pursed. Then abruptly, a door opened beside her. Not a door to blackness, but into what seemed a palace chamber, all carved white marble and white silk hangings. "Which one were you?" he said, as she stepped toward it, and she paused, looking over a shoulder at him with an almost coy smile.
"Do you think I could stand to be fat, ugly Kylie?"
She ran hands down her rounded slimness for emphasis.
"Isendra, now. Slim, beautiful Isendra. I thought if you suspected, you would suspect her. My pride is strong enough to support a little fat when it must."
The smile became a baring of teeth.
"Isendra thought she was dealing with simple friends of the dark. I would not be surprised if right now she is frantically trying to explain to some angry Aiel women why a large quantity of their gold necklaces and bracelets are in the bottom of her chest. She actually did steal some of them herself."
"I thought you said you didn't harm anyone."
"Now your soft heart shows. I can show a tender woman's heart when I choose. You'll not be able to save her from being welted, I think. She deserves that for the least of the looks she gave me. But if you return quickly, you can prevent them sending her off with one waterskin to walk out of this blighted land. They are quite hard on thieves, it seems, these Aiel."
She gave an amused laugh, shaking her head in wonder.
"So different from what they were. You could slap at Deshane's face, and all he did was ask what he had done. Slap again, and he asked if he had offended. He would not change if you continued all day."
Giving Asmodean a contemptuous, sidelong look, she added,
"Learn well and quickly, Luz Theron. I mean us to rule together. Not watch Samael kill you, or Grandal add you to her collection of handsome young men. Learn well and quickly."
She stepped into the chamber of white marble and silk, and the doorway seemed to turn sideways, narrowed, vanished. Rand drew the first deep breath he had taken since her appearance.
Mirren,
a name remembered from the glass columns. The woman who had found the Dark One's prison in the Age of Legends, who had bored into it. Had she known what it was? How had she escaped that fiery doom he had seen? Had she given herself to the Dark One even then? Asmodean was struggling to his feet, unsteady, and nearly falling again. He no longer bled, but blood still traced thin lines from his ears down the sides of his neck, made a smear across his mouth and chin. His filthy red coat was torn, his white lace ripped and snagged.
"It was my link to the Great Lord that allowed me to touch Sidene without going mad," he said hoarsely. "All you have done is make me as vulnerable as you. You might as well let me go. I am not a very good teacher. She only chose me because..."
His lips writhed, trying to pull the words back.
"Because there isn't anyone else," Rand finished for him, and turned away.
On tottering legs, Rand crossed the broad square, picking his way through the litter. He and Asmodean had been flung halfway around the forest of glass columns from Avendisora. Crystal plinths lay against fallen statues of men and women, some broken in chunks, some not even chipped. A great flat ring of silvery metal had been flipped up on chairs of metal and stone, strange shapes in metal and crystal and glass, all mixed in a heap with shattered bits, a black metal shaft like a spear standing upright, improbably balanced on the pile. The entire plaza was like that. Out from the great tree, a little searching among the jumble found what he sought. Kicking aside pieces of what seemed to be spiraled glass tubes, he shoved a plain-carved chair of red crystal aside and picked up a foot-tall figurine, a woman robed with a serene face, worked in white stone, holding up a clear sphere in one hand. Unbroken. As useless to him, or to any man, as its male twin was to Lanfear. He considered breaking it. One swing of his arm could shatter that crystal globe on the paving stones, surely.
She was looking for that.
He had not realized Asmodean had followed him. Wavering, the man scrubbed at his bloody mouth.
She will rip your heart out to put her hands on it.
Or yours, for keeping it secret from her.
She loves me.
Light help me, like being loved by a rabid wolf. After a moment, he put the female statue in the crook of his arm with the male. There might be a use for it. And I don't want to destroy anything else. Yet as he looked around, he saw something besides destruction. The fog was almost gone from the ruined city. Only a few wispy sheets remained to drift among the buildings still standing beneath the sinking sun. The valley floor tilted sharply to the south now, and water spilled out of the great rent across the city. The gash that went all the way down to where that deep hidden ocean of water lay. Already the lower end of the valley was filling. A lake. It might reach nearly to the city eventually. A lake maybe 3 miles long in a land where a pool 10 feet across drew people. People would come to this valley to live. He could almost see the surrounding mountains already terraced with crops growing green. They would tend Avendisora, the last Chora tree. Perhaps they would even rebuild Ruidian. The waste would have a city. Perhaps he would even live to see it. With the Ungrial, the round little man with his sword, he was able to open a doorway to blackness. Asmodean stepped through with him reluctantly, sneering faintly when a single carved stone step appeared, just wide enough for the two of them. Still the same man who had given himself to the Dark One. His calculating sideways glances were reminder enough of that, if Rand needed any. They only spoke twice as the step soared through the darkness. Once, Rand said,
I cannot call you Asmodean.
The man shivered.
My name was Joar Adam Nesosin, he said at last.
He sounded as if he had stripped himself bare or lost something.
I can't use that either. Who knows what scrap holds that name somewhere? The idea is to keep someone from killing you for a Forsaken,
and to keep anyone from knowing he had a Forsaken for teacher.
You'll have to go on being Jason Atale, I think. Gleeman to the Dragon Reborn.
Excuse enough for keeping you close. Natale grimaced, but said nothing. A little later, Rand said,
The first thing you'll show me is how to guard my dreams.
The man only nodded sullenly. He would cause problems, but they could not be as large as the problems of ignorance.
The step slowed, stopped, and Rand folded again.
The doorway opened on the ledge in Alcair Dal.
The rain had stopped, though the evening-shadowed floor of the canyon was still sodden, churned to mud by Aiel feet. Fewer Aiel than before, perhaps as many as a fourth fewer, but not fighting. Staring at the ledge where Moraine and Egwene, Avienda and the Wise Ones had joined the clan chiefs, who stood talking with Lan. Matt was squatting a little distance from them, hat pulled down, and black-hafted spear propped on his shoulder. Adeline and her maidens standing around him. They gaped as Rand stepped out of the doorway,
stared more when Natale followed in his tattered shiny red coat and white lace. Matt jumped to his feet with a grin, and Avienda half raised a hand toward him. The Aiel in the canyon watched silently. Before anyone could speak, Rand said, "Adeline, would you send someone out to the fair and tell them to stop beating Asendra? She is not as big a thief as they think." The yellow-haired woman looked startled, but immediately spoke to one of the maidens, who dashed off.
"How did you know about that?"
Egwene exclaimed. At the same time, Moraine demanded,
"Where have you been? How?"
Her wide dark eyes darted from him to Natale, her Aes Sedai calm, nowhere in evidence. And the wise ones? Sun-haired Malayne looked ready to drag answers out of him with her bare hands. Bear scowled as though she meant to switch them out. Amys shifted her shawl and ran fingers through her pale hair, unable to decide whether she was worried or relieved. Adeline handed him his coat, still damp. He wrapped it around the two stone figures. Moraine was considering those, too. He did not know if she even suspected what they were, but he intended to hide them as best he could from anyone. If he could not trust himself with Kalimdor's power, how much less with the great Sa'angreal? Not until he had learned more of how to control it, and himself. "What happened here?" he asked, and the Aes Sedai's mouth tightened at being ignored. Egwene did not look much more pleased. "The Shaido have gone, behind Sivana and Culloden," Ruark said. "All who remain acknowledge you as Ka'akan."
"The Shaido were not the only ones who fled," Han's leathery face twisted sourly. "Some of my Tomanel went as well, and Goshin, and Sharad, and Charin."
Jaren and Aram nodded almost as dourly as Han.
"Not with the Shaido," Tall Bale rumbled, "but they went. They will spread what happened here, what you revealed. That was ill done. I saw men throw away their spears and run."
"He will bind you together and destroy you."
"No Tardot left," Ruark put in,
not pridefully, but as a simple statement of fact.
"We are ready to go where you lead."
Where he led. He was not done with the Shaido, with Culloden or Sivana. Scanning the Aiel around the canyon, he could see shaken faces, for all they had chosen to stay. What must those who had run be like? Yet the Aiel were only a means to an end. He had to remember that. "I have to be even harder than they." Jiaden waited beside the ledge with Matt's gelding. Motioning Natale to stay close, Rand climbed into the saddle, coat-wrapped bundle secure under his arm. Mouth twisted, the once forsaken came to stand by his left stirrup. Adeline and her remaining maidens leaped down to form around them, and surprisingly, Avienda climbed down to take her usual place on his right. Matt jumped to Pips's saddle in one bound. Rand looked back up at the people on the ledge, all of them watching, waiting.
"It will be a long road back."
Bale turned his face away.
"Long and bloody."
The Aiel faces did not change. Egwene half stretched out a hand toward him, eyes pained, but he ignored her.
"When the rest of the clan chiefs come, it begins."
"It began long ago," Ruark said quietly.
"The question is where and how it ends."
For that, Rand had no answer. Turning the dapple, he rode slowly across the canyon, surrounded by his peculiar retinue. Aiel parted in front of him, staring, waiting. The night's cold was already coming on.